Hallelujah. Matthew 28, verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Say, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Hallelujah. So, we're now looking along this line, or teaching along this line for a while. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're looking at the topic I titled Connecting to the Flow. Hallelujah. So, when it says, go make disciples, it says, go make disciples. Or, make disciples. Go teach all nations. That is the word we've been looking at in Matthew 2. You see, that word implies how one is trained in a discipline where he acquires the skills of the discipline so that he can become a scholar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That he can become a scholar. So therefore, when you say discipleship, when you hear the word disciple, make disciples, Matthew 2, his citadel of learning is evolved. And we say knowledge also is evolved. Hallelujah. Because it's true knowledge of thoughts. Hallelujah. Knowledge of thoughts. And then, so there's a citadel of learning that has to do with a coming together of people to learn the same discipline. So there's a gathering. There's a gathering in the background. And also, there is knowledge. Glory to God. There is knowledge in the background. There is a gathering, and there is knowledge. Hallelujah. So in discipleship, when it says in verse 20, let's put it this way. In verse 20, Jesus says, teaching them. So that means in discipleship, teaching becomes primary, or becomes the primary way the disciple is raised. Teaching them. Hallelujah. Is raised. I remember that teaching will not be teaching in isolation, but rather teaching in the garden. Are you hearing me? That is teaching in the garden. Even Jesus, in the resurrection, he didn't teach them privately, he taught them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the resurrection, when he resurrected, he didn't go to them one by one, he taught together. While he was in the earth world before the crucifixion, he taught them together. I believe it. He taught them together. Sometimes we hear the ones stood together to him and he taught them. So Jesus teaches together. So it's not in isolation of teaching in heaven. Hallelujah. So that means when you are teaching them, a gathering is also involved. I believe a gathering is also involved. So why a gathering? That's the major thing. Why a gathering? Why a gathering? Why a gathering? In Mark 14, quickly, let's rush to Mark 14. Verses 7. And Jesus resurrected. That's in Mark 14, Mark 16:7. See, but go tell his disciples. Now, this is the angel that met them are the way. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before. call you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.
Did you see that? Hallelujah.
So, Jesus appointed for them to meet in Galilee.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 28, verses 10. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." He said, "Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So a gathering is involved. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection, Jesus appointed a place for them to meet. He appointed a place for them to meet where he will meet with them. Hallelujah. So that gathering is an instruction. Hallelujah. It's an instruction. In Matthew 28, where we are, verse 20, when it says, "Go make disciples," it is an instruction because a gathering is intended. Remember, I said you can't make disciples in isolation. Hallelujah. So, a gathering is in view. Hallelujah. So it says, "Go raise disciples." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. In fact, before we see Hebrews 10, let's go back to the New Testament book. Let's look at Numbers 11. Verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers among the people. So bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you." He said, "And I will come down and walk with you there, and I will take up the spirit that is upon you, and I will put some upon them, and they shall bear the burdens of the people with you, and you may not bear it yourself alone."
Did you see that? Hallelujah.
You see, let me tell you something.
Okay, before we get there, I'll talk about that tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will still look at this to see that. So, now, they were to have the Spirit come upon them. God asked them to gather. Hallelujah. Gathering is actually an instruction here. Told them to gather them together. Hallelujah. Look at verses 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took off the spirit that was upon him and placed it upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied all true. They never did so again. Hallelujah. They prophesied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
God's work is always within the garden.
Let me put it like that for today. Hallelujah.
Let me put it like that for today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Samuel, you see the same thing also. First Samuel, you see the same thing. That should be chapter 4. Corinthians 4. Sorry. That should be in chapter 9. When Samuel told Saul that as he goes, he will see some prophets. He says, when you get there, the Spirit will fall upon him also, and he will prophesy. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And it happened the same way Samuel said it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, the gathering of believers is an instruction. So we receive also in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 25. How is it? It said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Did you see that? So we have an instruction not to neglect the assembling of ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In the book of Acts, so it's an instruction. We see them follow that instruction to the letter. They were always together. Hallelujah.
Yes,
in Acts 1 verse 14, it says, and they all continued in one accord. One accord would mean they would be in the same place, having one mind doing the same thing. Hallelujah. They were all in one accord. Acts 1:14. Hallelujah. Acts 2:1. The day of Pentecost has fully come, and then suddenly came a sound. I said they were all in one accord in one place. How did you follow that? They were all in one accord in one place. They were all in one accord in one place. Very important. Glory to God. In chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verses 42. Verse 41. He said, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. What is the them then? They are gathering. So they had gatherings. Are you following me? They gathered consistently. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So they had gatherings always. In verse 46. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So they always had, the gathering of believers is an instruction. Hallelujah. That's why the writer of Hebrews say, as often as we speak, they are approaching. So it's not, the gathering of believers is not a Saturday and Sunday event. I follow you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And glory to God. It's not a Saturday or Sunday event alone. Some people just. It's just Sunday that it's your church. No. Hallelujah. He said, as often as you see the day approaching. Look at verse 24 of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 24. Look at verse 24. It says, And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. That is good work.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we gather to stir ourselves
to good works. Hallelujah. We stir ourselves. When you gather, we stir ourselves to good works. Hallelujah. We stir ourselves to good works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 17. He said, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Say, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, what Paul is saying is that when they gather together,
the church, their gathering is supposed to be for the better. Are you following me? It's supposed to be
for the better. So our gathering or gather is to get better. We gather so we can get better. That word to get better means to get improved upon. Are you following me? To get improved upon. We gather to get improved upon.
But that was not so with their gathering. Are you following me? So, first of all,
we're getting somewhere. Our gathering is definite.
We'll get to see that.
Now, our gathering is definite. We got to get better. We got to stir up ourselves to good works, right? Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verses 18. Look at what it says. Say, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions amongst you, and in part I believe it. For there must be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized amongst you. Hallelujah. Quickly, something to pick out and look at here. It says they had factions. So that was why he said their gathering was not for the better, because in their gathering they had factions. They have actually, in their gathering, they defied the major reason why gathering is supposed to be. This is that. The major reason for the gathering was what they did not keep. See, they had factions. That is to say, they were divided amongst different sects or different factions. Hallelujah. So therefore, our gathering is not to reflect our societal values. Our gathering is not to reflect divisions among us. It's not to show factions among us. Our gathering is not to show factions among us. It's not to show societal differences among us. No? We might be societally, or in the society, we might be different, but not in the church. I already not in the church. Glory to God. Remember, I told us this during our teaching on giving and receiving. I said, God has achieved what equality in the gathering. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So our gathering is not to showcase our societal values or our societal affiliations. No. No. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Our gathering is not to, when there are different belief systems in the gathering, then the gathering is not living up to its purpose.
Are you hearing me? You don't have belief systems, different belief systems in the gathering.
There will be factions. Hallelujah. When a gathering is now isolated into different classes, societal classes, marriage, parents association, the widows association, the no. Are you following me? No. Glory to God. In fact, in James 2, James had a few things to say about that. James 2, from verses 1. Look at what James says. Jesus to one. He said, my brethren, do not hold. He says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if they should come into your assembly, is that gathering? A man with golden rings and fine apparel, and they should come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit in a good place, and to say to the poor man, you stand there or sit at my foot, which is to be subjected to. Did you see that? He says, have you not shown partiality amongst yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, God has not chosen the poor, and has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? He said, but you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you to court? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Do you know what the royal law is? Hallelujah. He calls it in chapter 1, the perfect law of liberty. That is what Paul will call the law of life. I mean, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James calls it the royal law. Hallelujah. He says, verse 9, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law of as transgressors. Hallelujah. So James makes us see that in our gathering, hallelujah, whoever we are in the society does no essence. That's what he's saying. It does not reflect anything. That's what James is saying. Hallelujah. So we should not show partiality because it is of no importance. Hallelujah. The moment a man walks into the gathering of believers, he's like everybody. Are you following me? In Romans chapter 12, Paul will say, let law be without partiality. Are you following me? Let law be without partiality. In the gathering, there's no partiality. Amen.
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 In the gathering of believers, there is no partiality. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There is no association of bankers club in the church. There is no association of brethren who can. You know, you find those things creep up. I had a conversation years back, very long, with a friend like that. They were attending our family church. You begin to discover that amongst children in Sunday school, children began to mingle with themselves based on how rich your parents were. So the people that their parents didn't have cars can't talk to those that have cars. It's just clear. In fact, they can't even sit with some people in their Sunday school classroom. They sit with themselves. I believe they just bond themselves together and just sit. They are friends when they come to church. So others, they don't talk to them. So one day while I was in Sunday school, it has been happening right from time, because they will pick it up from the elderly ones. The elderly ones too, in the main church, called the adult church, big church. They too will sit according to their status in society. At close of church, those who don't have cars just walk home. Those who have cars gather. Just that same businessmen association, cooperative association, different factions inside the church. Nobody actually has to preach it, but it just happens. Because it's a function of what, how you are being taught. Are you hearing me? So that man crept into the Sunday school where children were.
when children were around.
Hallelujah. So I now became a Sunday school teacher. What I did was that I'm now being forced every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning.
One, I will allow everybody to come and see them according to friends, according to society. Not even knowing what I was doing there.
But I would not divide because I never liked it as a Sunday school student. I never liked it. So I made sure I talked to everybody. Hallelujah. My father does not have a car. So if I talk to everybody who have cars, I don't have cars. Hallelujah. I was the mediator. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe someone will say,
I shall be a humanitarian, whatever.
Well, I was a mediator, in fact. One time like that, when I was now the evangelism leader. You see, the way I would gather, why didn't you absent us? So, but I did a whole lot. So when it was now time for me as a teacher, all our children sit down. You just see the status. Sometimes, one whole row like this will be for male. All the other row will be for ladies. And say, okay, good. And within the males, they already within the guys, they already sitting according to their friendships. Jonathan, those who feel they don't know book in the society will sit at the back. That they can gist and talk. So what I did was I allowed them to sit, and when they are not sitting, I'll now rearrange them. Hallelujah, as their teacher.
How you know that this one, okay, come forward, you go and sit here.
Not doing it because of them, no, I wanted them to have a rapport.
Hallelujah. Look
to
God. Sometimes
I developed another thing. My teacher said, talk to your neighbor, say neighbor. Because like, everybody will just be too cold, class will be too cold. Touch your neighbor and say neighbor. Hallelujah. Not really having an understanding of scripture is why I do today. Hallelujah. But yet, I knew that was wrong. Hallelujah. I knew that was wrong. Seriously wrong. I'm wrong. So we don't gather to reflect such attitude. Some people gather to reflect the kind of schools they go to. You know, rich men go to private schools and, you know, private school children and public school children just sit according to that divide. No. We don't gather to reflect this. This must not be reflected of sin in our gathering. Are you following me? It must not be reflected nor seen in the gathering of believers. Any discrimination whatsoever must not be found. Carrying on believers. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Rather, we gather to reflect to reflect what we have in common. What we have received in common. We gather to reflect. And to learn, to reflect, and to learn what we have received together. There's something we've received together.
There's something we've received together. We have things in common. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What do we have in common? We have in common the Holy Ghost. We come to reflect and to learn of what we have together. We have the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2:10. It says, "Eye has not seen, ears have not heard, let us enter into the heart of man the things which God has promised for them that love him." He said, "But he has revealed them to us through the Spirit." Right? He said, "What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" He said, "The things of God learn no man except the spirit of God." It says, "How be it said, we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know those things that are freely given to us of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. to mark down that the things that are freely given to us of God. You get to see that. But he said we've received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God or from God. Hallelujah. So we've received the spirit of God. Jesus said that also before the crucifixion. John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I pray the Father and will give to you another comforter. Another comforter who will abide with you. Even the spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because neither sees him nor knows him. Say, but you know him. For he shall be with you and shall dwell in you. He said, how is I won't leave you, however, I won't leave you orphans. I will come to you. Are you following that? So in that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. Glory to God. So we'll receive the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans 8, 9. Let's quickly watch Romans 8, 9. Romans 8, 9. It says, for you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He said, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. Hallelujah. So we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in us. So the man born again is the man who has received the Spirit of God. John will call it, you are born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Born of the Spirit. To receive the Spirit of God. That's in Romans chapter 9, chapter 8. Look at verses 13. Verses 13. Oh, verses 12. It says, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. See, they are the sons of God. It says, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but for you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry, Abba, Father. So the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. What do we have in common? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We have the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16. As the full name. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Is it? First Corinthians 3:16. He said, do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He writes to everyone and he says, we are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Chapter 6, verses 18 or 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our bodies are the temple of God, and then the Spirit of God dwells in us. Hallelujah. The temples of God, our bodies. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when a man is born again, he receives the Spirit, right? What do we have in common, the Spirit? What do we have in common? We have the same Fatherhood. The same Fatherhood. Look at that, Romans chapter 8 again. The same Fatherhood. Romans, are you there? He says, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, verse 16, that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Say, if children, then heirs. Say, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 14, he calls us sons of God. Sons of God. Technos of God. Children of God. He calls us sons. Heirs. He calls us technos. Hallelujah. protect us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we have the same Father. The same Father. Look at John. John 20. The same Father. Verse 17. Jesus said to her, which is, okay, Jesus said to her, verse 16, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus answered, thou art not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go and tell my brethren. Hallelujah. And say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
Did you see that? Hallelujah. To my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So, in the resurrection, when a man believes, we have the same Father. God is our Father. Take note of that. We have the same Father. I have something in my notes. I said, we have received the Spirit, we are born into a new family. So, in that new family, we have the same Father. We are born into a new family. A new family. Hallelujah. A new family. The same Father. The same Father. Hallelujah. And the same Father, we are brethren. What we have in common? We are brethren. Why are we brethren? Because of the Holy Ghost. Why do we have the same Fatherhood? Because of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 We are brethren. That is the word Adelphos. Adelphos. To be born from the same womb. To be born from the same source. The same womb. We come from the same source. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
we come from the same womb. What is the womb? That is the resurrection. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are from the same source. We are from the same source. So, you see, when we come together, I must have this in my mind. Should I call it in my mind? I must recognize this truth. Hallelujah. That there is no, see, we're not divided by age, we're not divided by status, we're not divided by money, we're not divided by car, we're not divided by anything. Rather, we'll see ourselves as one. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 The same Fatherhood, the same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We are brethren from the same source. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you must take note of that. Because, say, okay, let me ask this. To have the same family. That is the solution. To have the same family. We have the same family. See, I must recognize this truth and I must do what? And I must honor it. We get to see all that as we progress. Hallelujah. Remember, we are teaching, I'm teaching on connecting to the flow. I'm just laying some background today, which will build upon tomorrow into next week, and then we just keep building on it till upper week when we have our CRC. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. So we have the same family. The same Fatherhood, the same Spirit, right? We are brethren. See, in the gathering of believers, nothing separates us. We have no differences. We have no differences.
No,
we are not seen outside this family. We are not known outside. See, the believer, the man in Christ, is not known as outside his family. Are you hearing me? So when a man begins to look at this, look at the gathering outside this, that guy is walking in the flesh. Are you following this? That guy is walking in the flesh. When a man begins to talk about the believer outside this, let me borrow the word of a friend. That person is talking in the nonsense. Say nonsense.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Say nonsense. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The believer is known in this family, in this union. Hallelujah. So we belong to the same family. Say, I belong.
I belong.
Or we belong.
To the same family.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Hallelujah. Yes, so therefore, that family is actually a gathering.
We belong to the same family. That family is a gathering. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We are gathered unto Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We will not be reflected in the local assembly. Hope you are following me. So that family is a gathering. Don't say, so that means I cannot say I'm only a family with bro. See me because we are in the same church. No. Hallelujah. It's a family.
Hallelujah.
It's
the family of Gallipot.
Listen to the message, the church, local church, and you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So we are gathered together in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ. So we are known in Christ. Hallelujah. Together. Then we don't have the local church. Placed under the local church. Placed under the local church.
So therefore we can say, soteria, which is salvation, soteria
which brings about the pneuma, which is salvation, brings about the spirit, right? In fact, your study of salvation, you cannot study salvation outside the spirit. Hallelujah.
Which brings about the pneuma, leads us to the ecclesia, to the gathering. It's an ecclesia. Hallelujah. There is an ecclesia. So it leads us to the ecclesia.
So, therefore, when you read Matthew 28, 4 verses 18, it says, make disciples, and you say, we'll have a gathering in the background, which is the ecclesia in the background. What is it for? Why it leads us to the ecclesia? Why? Because the ecclesia is where we are trained. Listen, the ecclesia is where we are trained to carry out the Lord's plan in the earth. The ecclesia that we are trained, nurtured, and grown. The ecclesia that will carry out God's plan for the earth. So, God's plan, God, the way God has designed His plan to be carried out in the earth is through the ecclesia. Gentlemen, the way God has made it possible for His plan for the earth to be accomplished is through the ecclesia. So, the ecclesia is how God's plan for the earth is achieved. So therefore, a whole lot. In fact, God has committed His everything in the ecclesia. Let me put it that way. So in the ecclesia, we are taught. See, I put it this way. God places Let me put it this way, His honor on the ecclesia. I don't know if that was written on the first one, will hold me to it. Hallelujah. God has placed His honor on the ecclesia. Because I have a flat yet touch through their feet.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? That's how God planned for the rest of the achieve. Through the ecclesia. So in the ecclesia, we are praying for spiritual growth to carry out God's plan for the earth. We are trained. So how are we trained? We are trained with the teaching of the word. Right? Right? Hallelujah. We are trained with the teaching of the word.
We are also trained by examples. See, we are also trained by examples.
There are several things learned in the ecclesia that are learned by observing.
Just observe. So therefore,
we're going to look at that tomorrow. So therefore, as a believer, as a disciple, a good disciple, you must learn to observe. As a good disciple, you must do what? You must learn to observe. As you listen to the word, you observe. Be smart to observe. Don't be loose at words. Are you hearing me? Be sensitive to observe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at what Paul was saying concerning the ecclesia. Are you with me? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15. Or rather, verse 14. Say, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. You ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth.
Before we get to see this a bit, because we're going to talk about dwell here, this is your ground of power. Remember, I will say that the local church is where God has placed his honor on, right? Right? God's honor is on what he does. God's honor is on what he does. God's honor is on what he does or what he has accomplished in the past. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, God places his honor on things, on what he has done.
And the ecclesia is God's plan for the earth. Hallelujah. So, God's honor is on the ecclesia.
That word honor means value. So, as a believer, I must learn to value what God has placed his value on.
I follow you. See, you see how we are coming. Let's just quickly do a recap before I
touch it. I wanted to see what way we are coming from. We said the ecclesia is God's plan for the earth, right? Right? And that we will come to reflect a common we have in common. So what do we have in common? The Spirit of God. We are what?
Family.
We are a family.
We are brethren.
The same Father. So listen. You see. So that means, if I say God, we should honor what God has placed his honor on, that is on the ecclesia, that means I must place honor on this belief. I for the living. I cannot believe in God. I must place honor on the fact that, see, must place value on the fact that we are brethren. I for the living. When we gather, I must place value on that. Right?
Yeah.
who have heard it. I must place value on the fact that we are to have the same Father, and our gathering together is unto Him. I must place value on that gathering, because our gathering is not unto any man but unto Him. I must place value on that gathering.
I follow you.
I follow you.
Okay. Very important. You know, we are talking about how to connect to the flow. Amen.
True. So, how do I connect to the flow? Just to get to see some of these things again tomorrow. I'm just, for me, what I'm doing this afternoon is just to lay some background for some practical things we'll look at tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, don't come and write and say that you know how you ought to conduct yourself.
Now, because we have said that God places His honor on the local church, and I must honor what God has placed His honor on. Hallelujah. So that will now reflect in my conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Though what Paul was writing concerning here in context is concerning the leadership, the deacons, the bishop, and things like that. Hallelujah. But you know, it also still goes down to make you see that there is such a thing called the conduct amongst ourselves. There's such a thing called Christian conduct. There's
such a thing called Christian conduct when we gather. Christian conduct when we gather. There's such a thing called Christian conduct when we gather.
Hallelujah. And that conduct starts from how we see ourselves. And how we see the meetings. It starts from how we see ourselves. How we see the meetings.
And how we get punctual to the meetings.
Very important. How we see ourselves. How we see the meetings. And how we get punctual to the meetings. We must see ourselves as the same. Right? Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. And let me take that one step forward.
How does scripture teach us to see ourselves? It teaches us to esteem others above ourselves. How does scripture teaches us to see ourselves? Right?
Romans 12. Romans 12. We're coming back then. Romans 12. Verses 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring to one another. Hallelujah. In honor.
So that is honor. Honor means you place people above yourself. There's nothing like, I cannot, I'm going to say nonsense, like, I cannot love you more than I love myself. But that is people. Hallelujah. To place people above yourself. That is honor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is honor. We are taught to esteem others above ourselves. Esteem brethren. Hallelujah. Not as you esteem yourself, no. Hallelujah. So learn to do that. Hallelujah. So it becomes for us believers' conduct.
When we gather, we must esteem the gathering, right?
Above, right? We must esteem others above, other believers above. Glory to God. So there's never anything called self-esteem in scripture. There's never anything called self-esteem in scripture.
Scripture never teaches us self-esteem. Scripture teaches us to esteem others are you. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's never anything called self-esteem. Self-esteem is societal. Amen.
Amen.
Are you following me? Self-esteem is societal. So when you know that there's nothing called self-esteem, you will not even think of anything called low self-esteem. Hallelujah. It's society. Because scripture already teaches you to esteem others above yourself. So if you now want to call it low self-esteem, your own wahala. Hallelujah. Because scripture says esteem others higher above. Hallelujah. You place them above yourself. Place them above yourself means you place them where God has. You see them in their office. See them where as God has seen them. Do you see that? Hallelujah. You learn to esteem people above. Above when we gather. That does not in any way rule out the leadership in the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm saying as that someone doesn't now take it to the extreme. And say, ah! My name, Pastor.
You just be very stupid.
Hallelujah.
You just be
stupid. Hallelujah. Because understand, recognize the leadership and see them in their office. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same way to the leadership too. We see the brethren and see them in their office. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So back to our first Timothy. He said that know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. The house of God. He said the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So we say there is such a thing called Christian conduct. It's how we conduct ourselves. It's how we carry ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know the conduct, your way you conduct yourself. I want you to listen to me now. The way you conduct yourself is different, in functions. The way you conduct yourself, I want you to follow me now. Is different in functions. Do you understand what I mean by that? Do you understand what I mean by that? Or you just write it? Do you understand what I mean by that? It's different in functions. For example, you're going for a dinner party. You're going for a dinner party. A dinner. And you are wearing baggy jeans with a polo and a cap with chains. How many of you are even misdressed for that dinner function? Right? You're misdressed. You're wearing a torn jean. This year and this age, they can do anything. They can only have a hallelujah. But when you are going for a dinner party, for a girl, what do you dress? How do you dress? You dress like a gentleman. You wear your suit. In fact, not any house suit, you wear your black suit, bow tie. A lady will wear a dinner gown. Right? You are going for a football match. Prepare for a football match. And you're wearing suits with tie, and military shoe. How? And you are going for a football. You know you have been dressed for that function, right? You know you've been dressed for the function. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or you are going for a. Then you're going for a birthday. A birthday. Someone's birthday. Because someone has said, I'm the only impossible person that can do something like this. I went for a friend's wedding. People know how. I was on preaching on Saturday. The clothes I wore, just entered the wedding. And I was the only person wearing English. Not just English here with that. English here with that. Just very casual. To them. Because God has not been wearing that bad guy. And like, yeah. Tell us. Hallelujah. So, you see,
Somebody say, I believe that it will be possible. Hallelujah. So I am distressed for that situation, for that part. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The same way too. Remember, we say how we'll conduct ourselves, we look at it from
the fall of God, it was fun, right? Now, the same way too, in Christianity, we have different kinds of function or different kinds of meetings.
Not functions, but different kinds of meetings. Hallelujah. And every kind of meeting has the attitude of the meeting.
We carry with it the attitude of the meeting.
Hallelujah. Imagine as we are having, you know, we are having a teaching meeting today. We are not having Holy Ghost meeting. I can't prepare to have a Holy Ghost meeting today.
Hallelujah. Because I just
want to
give us
breathing,
and then we'll go into
our hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now imagine, I wanted to follow me. Now I'm having a teaching meeting. I came with the mindset of a teaching meeting.
Now we are writing. Imagine as I'm teaching.
Go!
You have to be heavy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every meeting will have
with it its conduct.
How you conduct yourself.
Hallelujah. I guess everyone that saw me from how when I took the song, you know that pastor is not having Holy Ghost meeting, right? Right? You know it's a teaching meeting.
As in you just have to dress for the teaching meeting.
Hallelujah.
We have to have a Holy Ghost meeting. You have
to. Just watch how we start meeting tomorrow.
Glory to God. You have to teach.
Are you believing? It doesn't now mean I cannot change it to a Holy Ghost meeting. No. We can be here now, change it to Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. But there are different meetings.
We have what we call the teaching meeting. There's something I did not say concerning that I did not say about honor.
And as regards
punctuality, I will do that tomorrow. I propose this to you for tomorrow.
Yeah. Hallelujah. We have the teaching meeting.
The teaching meeting is the primary meeting of the universe. The primary meeting of the universe. Where the word is taught. The word is taught.
From the scriptures. Hallelujah. Primary meeting of the believers. We have the primary meeting of the believers. I love how Pastor Shaggy will put it. We will call it the classroom meeting of believers.
So how do I conduct myself in this meeting? How do you conduct yourself? You must go with your writing materials and your book. You shows you honor that. Hallelujah. In fact, all Christian gatherings, make sure you have your Bible. That is honor. Your Bible and your writing matter. That is honor. It is this honor to come to a Christian meeting, a believer's meeting, without your writing matter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The teaching meeting. Where we are taught.
Where we are taught. Classroom meeting. We don't have the prayer meeting.
Now, the prayer meeting is a fallout of the teaching meeting. So it's more or less like a practical class. Remember we said disciples are taught and are taught by precept and by example.
Disciples are taught by precept, they are taught, and then they learn by examples.
So, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So, the prayer meeting becomes that practical class
the fallout of the teaching is
where we are, because in the teaching meeting you are taught prayer, in the prayer meeting you pray. Are you following me? In the teaching meeting you are taught prayer, in the prayer meeting you pray.
And you saw it in the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Luke 3, he was being baptized, he was praying.
In Luke 6, he went out to pray. In Luke 18,
he took his disciples to pray. In Luke 22, he took them again to pray. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, we find in the life of Jesus,
in the life of the apostles, a Acts of Apostles chapter 1, but what happened in verses 14, 15, 16,
they were in one accord in prayer.
In chapter 2, they were in one accord. And then they had the Holy Ghost. In chapter 2, verse 42, sorry, those 3,000, those brethren that were added to them, they continued their apostles' words, teaching in prayer. Mark that. Acts 3, verse 1, we found Peter and John going into what? The synagogue, the temple, right? In the hour of prayer. Hallelujah. And so on, you find that in chapter 4, when they were threatened, they got back to their company, to their gathering. Hallelujah. They got back to their local church in verse 29. They reported the matter and they did what? And they prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In chapter 6, Peter said, we'll give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. So prayer is in chapter 9. Peter went, he fasted. He was fasting and went to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had been hungry, slept, and had a vision. So prayer was, prayer is the consistent lifestyle of the believer. But at the local church, we can gather to pray. Like they did, they had a time of prayer, Acts 3. Hallelujah. They had a time of prayer. Acts 1, they were one accord in prayer. Luke 22, Jesus took them to pray. Did you see that? Did that collective prayer? In Colossians chapter 4, Paul will admonish that the church in Colossae, now he was writing to the church, not to an individual, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. So that will be the word collective prayer meeting. Hallelujah. You should continue in prayer together. Now we should continue in prayer. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So prayer meeting is a meeting of believers.
Practical class. Hallelujah. We now have something what we call evangelistical meeting. Evangelistical meeting, also a practical class, where we all go out and we do what? We teach. Is a fallout also of a teaching meeting.
Hallelujah. Where we go to evangelize, to win men.
Hallelujah. To win men. In Acts of Apostles chapter 6, in Acts of Apostles chapter 6, there was havoc and the disciples dispersed.
And when they dispersed, they didn't disperse to say, we have tried. No. When they dispersed, what happened? The Bible said they went everywhere preaching Christ.
Hallelujah.
They went everywhere preaching. Hallelujah.
So it's a practical class. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's a practical class. They went everywhere preaching.
Preaching. Glory, hallelujah.
So I know nobody here will start acting evangelist.
I thought evangelism is for evangelism, for everyone. Matthew 28. It says, go raise disciples. Mark 16:15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we have received that commission. Hallelujah.
Also from the apostles. Hallelujah. To every believer, preaches the gospel. Now, what about the role of an evangelist? Go and listen to the message the Holy Spirit teaches. Yeah, we have that explained there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We also have who call the healing meetings.
We have one in this year after we have one in the month of April, May. Healing meetings.
Hallelujah.
So healing meetings is also a particular class where also a particular class where we pray for those who are sick amongst us, and also those who are sick
in society. Hallelujah. Or who are not amongst us, who will call for the sick and will lay hands on them. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In Mark 16, he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. He said, they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. He said, is there any sick amongst you, James? Let them call for the elders.
Say, let them call for the elders. So you know, we can have sick brethren amongst us that will require that are in need of healing, and we would extend the healing power of Jesus. Or not, that is quite in his talk, but we would pray for them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll pray for them and they will be healed. Glory to God, the healing meeting. To have healing meetings. Glory to God. Imagine you are coming for an evangelical meeting, and you are wearing a football outfit. Hallelujah. You are wearing, or let me not even use that. You are coming for an evangelical meeting without a mind.
So how will you preach?
Jonathan, glory to God. Hallelujah. So every we have these meetings in the body of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quick one.
You can have both the healing meeting and the evangelical meeting happening together. In an evangelistic meeting, you can have a healing meeting. I follow you. Where you go out to evangelism and you meet the sick and you lay hands on the sick.
As a healing meeting in an evangelistic meeting.
Hallelujah. You can also have a healing meeting in a teaching meeting. We saw that from Jesus. Hallelujah. Even from Paul. Glory to God. When you are teaching and then you send the power.
Or you are moved in a certain direction to lay hands on people to be healed. Hallelujah. You can have that. So we also have what we call the Holy Ghost meetings.
We also have what we call the Holy Ghost meetings. Holy Ghost meetings.
The Holy Ghost meeting is,
I'll borrow the words of Father Shepherd. He said, the Holy Ghost meeting is the town hall meeting of believers. Where the Word of God is given first place, the teaching of the Word is given first place. The teaching of God's word is given first place. And the Spirit of God is given free course in the gathering. The Spirit of God is given free course in the gathering. The Spirit of God is given free course in the gathering. Every
everyone in the gathering is full of the Holy Ghost,
leaving the meeting with joy to the Lord.
Okay.
I follow you.
Everyone is full of the Holy Ghost. With the meeting with joy. In the Holy Ghost speaking, everyone is edified. And Jesus is glorified.
Well, everyone is edified, Jesus is glorified.
Needs are met.
Needs are met. And there is joy in the atmosphere.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the Holy Ghost meeting, there is usually the flow of the Spirit.
And everyone is expected to participate. Unlike the teaching meeting, when you have someone teaching and you are taking it and writing. The evangelistical meeting, where you know someone leads, and then the prayer meeting, someone leads. Hallelujah! Mm-hmm. I follow you. Someone leads. But in the Holy Ghost meeting, everyone participates. Everyone.
Hallelujah! 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 In the Holy Ghost means everyone participates. So, in the course of this teaching, we will be dwelling on how to connect to the flow in the Holy Ghost meeting.
Hallelujah. So we start looking at it once more. How to connect, how to just flow in the Holy Ghost meeting.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.